studies having to do with like raw, unpasteurized, thick milk coming out of cows from, you know, good cows, Amish cows, and cancer rates in the Amish community. Apparently it's like zilch, you know, because they go on, because they don't use cell phones or masturbate, is what the research shows. But I been using this daily HGR CBD Relieve, and you wouldn't expect this to be a side effect, but after you rub a little bit on your hand, you know, me personally, I got this scar tissue on my knee. I put it on, and after I rub my knee, if you touch your junk, it actually looks way bigger afterwards. And it's like an immediate side effect, dude. So if you're already big down there, don't get this. But most of you guys in the audience, I know you need some freaking help, bro. Call our guys over at HGR.
Welcome to Shut Up and Scribble, where we only talk programming. Unless Taylor does the reads and give shout outs to our sponsors. We need more sponsors, everyone. If you want to hear about how your topical balms and other things. Can...
Is that on the back of the bottle?
Yeah, it says side effect, penis enlargement. But I do love this stuff. It's freaking amazing.
Allegedly, it says that.
Allegedly. Feels amazing. Yeah, so that was just an interesting thing when he was talking about cancer rates in the Amish community. I've yet to look it up, so it can be complete speculation. But common sense, 1 + 1, you know what I'm saying? Angelo is not here. Odds of him showing up.
I'd say let's give him 50-50.
He's supposed to be here, so the thumbnail is not clickbait.
But even if it was, who cares?
Right. So JR, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's go ahead and fill everyone in if they did not watch last week's episode, or if you turned it on and were very scared by my rhino face paint. We're like, I can't watch this. I can't listen to this guy the whole time talk about workouts when he looks like that. Reaction Gymnastics, newest sponsor of the show, logo up. If you're remote, that's the biggest thing about what Amy does. Online gymnastics programming. She can clean up technique. She said she's already had a lot of people reach out to her since last week's show, which is awesome. Just shows you how much of an influence Taylor Self is. Speaking of influencers.
What's up?
Can you hear me? Loud and clear, dude.
Oh, really? Okay, sweet.
So what do you think of quarterfinals? We'll let you hit it right off the cuff, dude. Straight from the rip. What do you think overall?
I thought it was fine. I mean, I thought the tests were good. Like, independently, maybe not super great, but – and then maybe – I don't know. Good. I'll say good, not great. How about that?
Are they too close to last year or kind of close to last year? Would you wish more variety?
No. I think they were okay. Difference. Let me try to think of last year, I guess.
There was a front that, I mean, they weren't that close, but there were things that were close.
Front squat, handstand walk. Yeah, okay. Right. So there's a gymnastic front squat.
They had the shuttle run dumbbell thruster last year.
Dumbbell thruster, which is, yeah, that's a lot different than what we did this year. Yeah, I mean, I think
they had the individual relay with the 275 clean and jerks at the end.
Yeah, that was totally different. I think they're plenty different from last year. The only thing would be like, maybe compared with the open, you're missing some higher skill stuff. Like Dom and I were talking yesterday that like a ring muscle up really isn't a high skill movement for quarterfinals now. Like if you plan on going to quarterfinals, I know it's 25% now, but still, if you plan on going to quarterfinals, you probably have ring muscle ups. Like it is a relatively high skill, but it's not super unobtainable for any quarterfinals level athlete.
Well, this is kind of the thing I was thinking this morning, Taylor, and I'm curious what all three of you think about this. If we can all just come to the understanding that quarterfinals is, you know, they want it to be accessible enough for teams and individuals where they're encouraged to or almost like interested in signing up to do them, where they can do most of the workouts, they can at least start most of the workouts. We talked about this a little bit last week with the seeming bias to pressing, right? So you have the shoulder overhead, you have the handstand push-up, you have the muscle up, which I'm still going to say is an upper body press limiting skill, not pull.
Most likely, yes.
When you make it to a semifinal and you haven't tested any strict pressing or strict pulling for that matter. And really the only way to do that is with the legless rope climb. Do you think it's a problem? Do you think there are going to be teams with huge holes, whether you think it's pressing like last year with the handstand walk, dumbbell bench press that mangled some teams, or just with the seated legless that mangled some teams? Do you think that not having the rope climbs period in quarters is going to create havoc at the team level and especially at the individual level next week?
I think you're just making the assumption of who they care about. And I think it has been, it seems to me that they don't give a shit really about who makes it to semifinals. And their thought is if you're fit enough to be fit at the games, top 10, say maybe on an individual side, top five on the teams, then you're going to make it to semifinals regardless of those quarterfinal tests. Barring something crazy happening, most likely the fittest will go to semifinals. The rest of the people, it seems like they just don't really give a shit about, because they're to their thought process, well, we'll fix it at semifinals. We'll sort it out at semifinals. And then if that doesn't work, we'll sort it out at the games.
Yeah, I think they do have a lot of sorting out to do at semifinals for us. I think our problem more is that we haven't really done any Olympic lifting. Mm. If you want to consider the front squat an Olympic lift, I mean, that's the closest thing we've had to it up to this point. So it, like I said, again, Dom and I were talking that it's just kind of like blown wide open. So if they do want to test us, like, and kind of weed out the people who didn't really belong in semifinals, it's going to have a lot of higher skill gymnastics, pulling, pushing, like you said, and Olympic lifting. Like, those are the main things that we've missed. So there's not much to say until I see the test as a whole, you know, with semifinals and then the games as well. It's hard to say they've gotten it wrong so far, you know, because they may not have. They may be getting the people they want through right now. I'm not sure.
Will, when you looked at the team workouts, and if you didn't, like,
that's a little presumptuous.
Press publish, bro. Come on.
So, like, the strength biased workout was shoulder, overhead, and deadlifts. Yeah. And they were at a moderately heavy weight for competitors, and they were at a really heavy weight for people that, like, barely got into quarterfinals, mm-hmm. or whatever.
I think
when you see that workout, here. Will, if you see a workout with, like, deadlift and shoulder overhead versus if they would have written that workout 20 clean and jerks at 185 into 10 snatches at 185.
Yeah.
Does the fact that it's a deadlift and shoulder overhead make you feel like, okay, I can probably get through that versus like, well, if you can't Olympic lift it, you just can't. Like, do you think that came into play and they're just saving the weightlifting movements until semis?
Yeah, I feel like it's a little easier to look at that. I don't see a huge difference though. Except for the snatch. But the clean and jerk versus shoulder overhead and deadlift doesn't really change too much perception.
I think trying to make team quarterfinals workouts accessible for people is retarded.
I was going to say, does anyone do team open team fun? Quarterfinal? Like, sign up as a team in the open, do team quarterfinals that isn't trying to make semifinals?
Right.
No.
Does anyone do it for fun?
I don't think so. And I think
I was thinking like team programming could be more aggressive than the individual.
Yeah,
100%. But I also think the individuals can be aggressive because on top of that, with everything being more accessible, or this is what they're, you know, marketing.
I like inclusive. I like. Could you use inclusive?
Okay, inclusive. Everything
equitable,
more diverse, equitable, and inclusive. I would say. No one at my gym who's not like, oh, I want to make a semifinals. Like, yo, I'm stoked to do quarters. Can't wait to sign up, pay $50 to get my dick dragged through the dirt and have no chance of qualifying. There are people who are going to do it, but like they would end up modifying weights or movements maybe anyways. So why not just do what you need to do?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, they've used a heavy barbell for an Olympic lift last, I guess, every quarterfinals, 21, 22, 23. Yeah, all of them. They've used the heavy snatch, heavy-ish, 185, and then the clean and jerk, 275. Like, those are heavy barbells. And a lot of people had to scale because of those barbells. So, but, that, you know, those years are different. I guess that was top 10%, 25%. Maybe they changed that. But I do think, but there were a lot of people with scaling that who were in the top 10%. But only the people who thought they would have to scale it were people who were doing quarterfinals, like you said, just to get their dick smashed kind of for fun. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. To say anything about it before they're out is difficult.
It is. And it's also odd because they're taking this new approach. Okay, the Open doesn't matter now. When it just seems, I don't know, to act like it should be crazy accessible when last year there were 225 snatches for guys. Like, okay, first off, how about you give us some fair warning? Like, hey, this year we're going to really try to make things accessible or inclusive. Not, oh, the Open's been inclusive forever. You didn't know that? Like, yeah. I just feel like that's kind of how it was. And then, yeah, meh.
Angel, what are your thoughts on the idea of leaving it four scores? Well, they've been five for everybody for the last 3 years, and this year they're only four with an extra day to do them, meaning more days to repeat, but also meaning, yeah, like the people who are going to try to do them for fun, maybe they don't get just buried to the extent that they would if they had to do 180 pistols, 180 GHDs, you know, that kind of a workout as one of the five scores. Wouldn't even that year you had a lift that was scored with no fatigue, which is not what I think we should be doing at all ever. But when you have four and you're taking like 20 less people to semis, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I did have a thought. I was on a thought. I do think taking out one event sucks. Taking out one of the scores does suck. I don't know how much it would have mattered. Maybe people within the 25, 30 to 35 would argue different. I was on a roll for a second. And I lost it.
It's all good. I can fill the dead space. Don't worry, Augustus. I'm 10 steps ahead of you.
It's weird they expanded the time range to submit scores and then reduce the scores.
Oh, yes. I don't know that has anything to do with teams. I don't know that I think it's just an all-inclusive thing. I think that the individual's time is lengthened out. I believe Castro talked about this, and this could be me putting words in someone's mouth, but I think with Castro, I'm pretty sure he did say they lengthened it so it could be a class schedule, the quarterfinals for the individuals. And I think they just did the exact same thing with teams to be all-inclusive. So I don't know that it had anything to do with teams that we had extra time. And I think just probably the way they programmed it fell down to one less event. I don't know. Again, like I said, I don't know that one less event would have mattered for most of the teams. It probably would have just started to separate the better ones away from the worst ones for the most part. But it depends on what that event was. I don't know if it had a lot, if it had Olympic lifting and like, let's say it's a snatch rope climb workout, then I think it does change it a ton. But if the four are good tests, then it should be fine, right? Four tests should be enough, but I don't, who knows?
It's the reduced time frame in previous years. Is that a big part of the test, you think, at this stage? Like having to do them in close proximity?
Yeah, I think so too. I think the extra time, I mean, if you want it to be a class schedule, I get it. I understand that a little bit. But if you want it to be a true competition where like you can barely maybe redo one,
right?
Like you want it in a you want it to be shorter and tougher. Like it, I remember the first quarters I did in 21, I was wrecked, and like I tried to redo the snatch one, and I couldn't because I was so sore from the pistols. I did the snatch one, didn't do great on it, and I tried to redo it, and I was even worse because I was so wrecked.
I hate the fact that it's four scores. I'm also envisioning that they're going to be way more inclusive workouts, so like potentially easier to do, and now 6 days to do them. And I'm thinking if we don't give ourselves opportunities to redo all four, it's kind of stupid because you could imagine now with that much time and 20 less spots, people are going to be redoing like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dave said on this most recent weekend review when he was asked about the team workout specifically, he's like, you know, we are kind of like limited when you have a team with what we can program and expect gyms to be able to do. Yeah. So to me, like best case scenario is Taylor goes off last week when he sees all the movements and sees the repetition from the Open into quarters and the lack of things that we've been seeing like GHDs and ropes and all that stuff. Best case scenario, right? The workouts come out. The individuals do use the GHDs. We do climb the rope. You have a bunch of variants. We have five scored workouts. There are a lot of differences in the formats, right? Like maybe we get an interval style. Maybe we get something scored back to back. Maybe we get, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's best case scenario, but Taylor would tell me I'm being way too optimistic.
It's hard for me to have hope, dude.
Well, it's just hard if they say it's supposed to be at a class schedule and that's the purpose of doing it, then they have to take into account equipment. Otherwise, it's why would they do it in the first place, right?
Yeah, like I keep coming back to this, and maybe it's just because I'm an affiliate owner that writes the programming for their own gym. Like, okay, great. Like, we don't really need the floor plans. That's a plus. But if you want people to program the workouts for quarterfinals in the class, we are still blind Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with what we program for our members.
Yeah.
So if you don't at least give us a picture of a barbell and just that's it, or a picture of rings with one tape line and a rower, and you fill in the blanks, you're not staying true to the unknown and unknowable by doing that. I would push back on people that say that. What you are doing, though, is giving people that may not be that good at programming things that don't have a lot of wear and tear on the body for their members to set themselves up to be able to do them with the people who are actually doing quarterfinals for a score, almost like an extension of the Open, Friday Night Lights, all that stuff that they want. But by saying nothing, all we know is that CAP is going to program quarterfinals for the rest of the week. So that would be worth pulling up if we could look up.
Would it be worth pulling up?
Do you think CAP is
equipped to program workouts that don't have high wear and tear on the body around the Open?
Are you saying like 24.3 into the front squat ladder?
Yeah, dude. I can't think of anything less intelligent.
That was crazy.
But yeah, I think I'm going to try to. A lot of the people are like, hey, do you think they're going to be to where we can like do them in a class? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what they've said. So that's cool. Like, you know, Monday we'll do some Murph prep, right? That's not going to really beat you up. Maybe Tuesday we'll do some like hard machine intervals. And then on Wednesday we'll do a partner workout with stuff that I don't think they're going to do. Like, I don't really think they're going to use 25 feet of space. I kind of hope I'm wrong because I think you guys should be lunging or handstand walking. Yeah. I think they need to leave shuttle runs alone for a year. But I think they could use that distance for something with a traverse of distance with some kind of horizontal displacement. I think you can program a set of 30 wall walks and still get the effect of a 300-foot handstand walk in a workout. But there's something about making sure people can do something like that before they get to semis that I'm probably just holding on to, and I shouldn't.
Hold on to it, JR. You should. Have your values, your family values, and hold them tight.
Right,
dude, I've got some core values. Kindness is one of them. Politeness. Wow. Those are in the aspiring category.
Clearly.
Yeah, I haven't in my mirror in my bathroom.
Haven't quite reached those yet.
Dude, I feel like you're more of a family shield guy than a family values guy.
JR loves this phrase, horizontal displacement.
I like it when we're talking about like pushing a sled or carrying an object. I think that's an easy way to describe it. Yeah, you're just taking something and moving it a distance. That's it.
She did not buy me this. I bought it in the fucking airport, bro. Okay, you think I don't have my own money to buy my own coffee mugs, bro? Anyways,
dude, do you know how expensive? Angela Rich probably does. Do you know how expensive replacement pads on the GHDs are?
Oh,
no, I don't know.
The butt pads, foot rollers.
The butt pad. So essentially anything that you cannot buy point and click on Rogue, you can just expect that it's going to be super expensive. Oh. So, I mean, I guess a little bit of a teaser, right? The workout with GHDs hasn't come out yet for Crescendo. It will come out tonight.
Are you doing Crescendo?
Maybe he's still waiting to see all the workouts. He's one of those kind of guys.
I'm closer to being in as of like an hour ago than I have been.
Dude, I'm male team of four, dude. Gender identified male team of four.
So what I'm going to say about GHD pads is I ordered 24 of them for 12 GHDs because we need synchro for six lanes.
We don't want to know how bad you are with your money,
it's
bro.
Stupid.
Keep that to yourself.
But listen, dude, you know how it is when you start using them a long time. Like people cave in the middle, and like you could just tell that some people's range of motion is 6 inches less because the pad's really hard or the pad's really squishy. And then I got people complaining that it's like they're hitting their head on the back, like they're the females with crazy mobile thoracic spines are like throwing their head into the bar, and I'm like, okay, I have to replace these. But when you have to replace all of them at once, it's nuts.
We had a long time ago, some people may not even know the GHDs that Rogue used to make. They had like, they weren't the big like thick cylinders, they were like a pillow, and it was wrapped around like, it was basically just like a leather pillowcase around it, and it was so thin the worst part of a GHD was, well, those things would start ripping for one, and your shins from having to hold yourself in. Like, now the new rollers are so much better. You're holding your shins in, and like, you could slip out at any moment.
We've got some old GHDs at our gym. They're called Power Max, Pro Max, Pro Line. They're like made in Texas, like $350 each. They're like 15 years old, but we have like 12 of them. They've held up, but they are very minimal.
You're like 12 inches lower to the ground than the Rogue one.
You got one of those Abram 2.0s though, and you texted me and you're like, dude, I got one of those GHDs that you have. I told Andy I can't use these anymore.
Yeah, they're dangerous, fun. So hopes for next week, JR. You and Jason, we have this group chat between me, Jason, Colton, and Dallin for the quarterfinal shows. And I sent him a film of me squat cleaning a hefty 315 the other day. Felt good,
easy,
felt nice.
Easy money, yeah.
It's a big deal for me, okay? You know, just for this guy, big deal. And JR goes, so I guess you'll be doing the sets of 10 185 front squats on broken. And then Jason goes, no, dude, if you break those up, you're an idiot. Or if you don't break those up, you're an idiot. And shit like that really pisses me off when they pretend to have advanced knowledge, because both of them frequently get advanced knowledge. And I'm not afraid to tell other people that.
That's very
do you have advanced knowledge?
That's very presumptuous of you.
No, it's not, no, dude.
I wish I did. I wish.
What do you think is coming out? Do you think we're getting front squats at 185?
Well, listen, we talked last week about how, like, for some reason, the shoulder to overhead has been programmed for teams last 2 years. Last year, the interval workout with the rowing shoulder to overhead synchro and the rope climb was like a really good, dense upper body push pull combination. Yeah. But for some reason, individuals don't get the shoulder to overhead variation. And the teams had it again this year. And I was saying last week that anyone can game a set of 50 handstand push-ups if they just know how to break them and they limit their rest breaks to like 3 to 4 seconds. They just do really fast sets. But if you have like a chunk of 30 shoulder overhead at 185 and you break it, like, dude, you just got passed by 3 people. And then if you break again, you just got passed by 10 people. Where it's like, it's such a movement that you can't start working on quickly. So that's the one movement for me that I'm hoping makes its way into the individual side.
Yeah,
shoulder
overhead. I see that. As much as I like handstand pushups, I do like the barrier to entry and the shoulder overhead, like with the power clean and to start the rep. That's what made Sam and I want to do 3 sets. We thought about doing 4 sets in the shoulder overhead, but we decided on 3 to go faster because the transition was so long. We broke the deadlifts a little bit more because the deadlifts is like half a second break. Like, the other guy's grabbing the bar before it's done bouncing, and then he's picking it up. On the shoulder overhead, you have that clean, the pause in between, and yeah. It adds time, and like you said, a handstand pushup, there's like, you break them up smart for you, you could be really bad at them, but you could be closing in on guys who are pretty good.
Yeah, just if you're like, time per repetition is a little bit faster, like, you can get away with it. So I would say shoulder overhead, and then I kind of wished, ever since last chance qualifier that Taylor did, that they would bring back the 12-inch target burpee on the wall.
Yeah.
Just because it's simple, all you need is a wall, and it's kind of devastating if you do big chunks.
Is terrible.
But those are my 2 movements that I just kind of am hoping that come out.
Shoulder overhead, 12-inch burpee. Do you think a ring muscle will come out?
100%. I think, especially if they're not going to use a rope, they will still call that like a upper body hanging pulling movement. I kind of hope, and we can ask Angela kind of how it felt. I know there's been some funny videos, like Con Porter put one out, and you know, we were talking about how many ring muscle-ups were possible for teams, but I think an interval workout like that would be awesome for individuals to do. Like, with ring muscle-ups as the max rep movement. I don't really like AMRAPs in competition. Jeez. If it's like that, I think that would be fine. Because if you do 10 more ring muscle-ups than someone else, it's not like you're just like, you crushed yourself, right? For a better
score. It's within a window, I would guess. Yeah, if it's within a window and you're not at a live competition, I would think at a live competition it would be different, to where you, especially with how much time you have for quarterfinals, that changes my opinion on it as well about having an AMRAP.
That would be cool. Max rep ring muscle ups. I just like that because I feel like I'd be good at it, but it would be depend on what the buy-in is.
Yeah.
What do you think, Taylor, for movements that you want to see?
That I want to see, or see, this is the hard time of the year where there's things.
We're drawing the line though. Next week, you just get what you're given and you perform. But right now, you're the right now you're the programming snob. So what do you want to see?
I agree with, well, not sure where Angelo was going with it, but I think we should probably be touching Snatcher, Clean and Jerk before semifinals so that all these big fat idiots who are strong and can't do anything else don't get to just pass on through to semifinals.
Squat snatch though is what you want to see.
That still might, I know, I don't care any snatch, just put it with something really hard. If you're good at Olympic weightlift, I would like to see some Olympic weightlifting with a gymnastic movement that necessitates you to be really good at CrossFit, not just strong and not just, you know, skinny and good at gymnastics. Like, you've got to be strong. You've got to be efficient on a barbell. You've got to have gymnastic skills. You can't just be this lopsided specialist. I wouldn't mind a squat snatch or just a snatch. Same with a clean, like a, you know, ascending clean weights, but like, don't designate it, just clean however you want. Toes to bar, I think would be cool to have in quarterfinals. Some form of handstand pushup. I would like to see a wall facing again. Lunging.
I think if you see a wall facing, you're only going to get it in a progression style where it starts out with like kipping and then it goes to strict or then it goes to wall facing. I think the chances of seeing dumbbell snatch come up again are probably high. Last year, really? They did dumbbell snatch into the overhead lunge with the crossover. So I would hope that they think about what they've done in the past and maybe try to vary it a little bit more.
But equipment wise, you sure. expect the class to have 1070s?
Where I'm kind of going with that is like, I think I would be just as happy seeing some double dumbbell work with 50s and 35s as seeing just single arm work with a 70. Like, I think if you program something that's like super easy to judge, like a dumbbell step up or a dumbbell step over with two dumbbells, like that's a really easy movement to separate people. And it's like a movement everyone can do, but can you do sets of 10? Can you do sets of 20? Like, if you think about if they're served up with toes to bar, anything with a lot of grip, like that's just that there's not an easier movement you can program and just say, there's a box, there are your dumbbells, step up and over it. That's it. That's all you got to do. And now that they're saying you don't even need a judge to do quarterfinals and you can just send your video in, like that's going to make it even easier for that too.
Let me address this before we talk about this judging fiasco. Listen, Magnus, the more you talk about me liking wieners and other things and other comment threads, the less I'm going to be inclined to accept any kind of challenge you throw out. So just zip your lip, bro. I'm not doing these 100 burpees. The judging thing angers me so much because the assumption is like, okay, if you expect to make a semifinal, you're going to get video reviewed and you don't need a judge. But what if you just say you expect to make a semifinal, and you know, you suck ass and you don't use a judge and none of your reps count. And now all these people who have done that have a massive effect on the leaderboard when their scores are probably invalid to begin with. That's happened in years with judges and video review for everyone. So now they're just saying, yeah, fuck up the leaderboard. We don't care.
What did I say the other day? JR, it was like, you're either somebody who can't make it to semis and knows it and you're not going to have a judge, or you're somebody who can make it. And they're basically, either way, the judge is irrelevant. And if you want to have a judge, and then you put in your video, they're going to go off what their judges say on the video anyways. Or if you don't have a judge and you do make a video and they end up not watching it, which is a 50-50 that they don't watch it at all, then you sneak into semis. So it's like, you don't know. You could sneak in one way or you could get screwed one way. There's no way to even guess what the way to cheat the system is or what the way to do the right way either.
Yeah. And if you go back to the rule book, and I remember, I think Spin or maybe Sevon went through the rule book when it first came out, it actually says on there four quarterfinals. It says qualification process for semifinals. One video will be reviewed and then multiple other videos could be requested.
Yeah.
So they're basically just saying, hey, there's a threshold. We're not going to tell you what it is, but we're going to watch at least one. And then from there, if we need to watch more, we will. And I think the point that we were kind of making was, like last year, I think TTT did it. I want to say some other camps did it. They hired games judges to come in-house and be the in-person judge. However, those judges that are watching in real time awarded repetitions that were taken away or said did not meet standards when reviewed online. Right. So then at that point, what is the point of having a judge in person? If just to make sure that you counted your reps right and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you take the judges course, they tell you you're not there just to count reps and cheer them on. Like they tell you, so you're there to withhold the movement standard. That's it.
Was there actually any point in the judges course?
No.
There's no point in the season a certified judge is required.
You get CEUs for it.
Yeah.
If you're a coach, if you're a level three and you need to accrue 36 continuing education credits before units before your shit expires, just take your judges course for $10. That'll knock the number down. I feel like as an athlete, you need to go in. If you're expecting to make semifinals, you need to go into quarterfinals knowing that all of your video is going to be scrutinized to the nth degree by people doing a video review process, and your in-person judge is for nothing other than holding you accountable to where you're at in the workout and what your reps are. Because a lot of judges aren't, you know, in my experience, there's one judge that has judged me in workouts consistently that has called close border no reps that have saved me workouts, and that's Andy. And he's the only one I've ever been judged by that has the balls to do that. My wife is a really good judge, but she hasn't judged me in workouts where I've like moved, I wouldn't even say poorly, where I've had borderline reps. But Andy no reps me for like the first three snatches in that one quarterfinal workout where it was like 9-6-3 burpee box jump over snatch for not locking my knees out, something that a normal judge is probably missing a little bit. He no-repped all three of them. I quit the fucking workout and screamed at him and then restarted the workout. But if you, like, most people aren't going to have that. And as an athlete, to think that just because you have a judge, you're going to be okay, that's really stupid and short-sighted because your judge is going to give you reps that they're still going to take away on video review. So I almost feel like maybe not having one is better so that you're training or you're working out scared. Like, I need to move perfectly.
The only problem that I have is, like, me personally is I've done some qualifiers, not the games, but I've done some qualifiers where, and it was double unders. I went back and I watched my video. I didn't have a judge. I went back and I watched my video and like my rep count was off like three or four different times. Mm. And it was just by accident. Like it was like 50 reps and I was doing 51 or 48 or whatever. And I was like, I'm gonna have to freaking redo this workout because it's just wrong. And so I redid it and I didn't have a judge again. I just had somebody count my reps for me to double check. And, yeah, that's the only thing I see is like, or like a lunge. Let's say it is a lunge and you're lunging with a 70-pound dumbbell over your head. Those last few, 25-foot turnarounds you get, you may not be able to see that your heel is just on the line a little bit and you get up and maybe the camera angle can see it. And now you're screwed because you literally could not see it. So I'm thinking of those instances.
Yeah, like I want there to be variety and movement choice for sure. Like Taylor's talked about that too, but like something that I know it was for weather contingency. And I know Angela had strong thoughts about Wadapalooza in general, but doing the stationary lunge there and at Rogue because of weather, like, I think that will come around. And if they do a lunge in quarterfinals, it's not going to be for distance for that very reason you just said, is that when you're lunging away from the camera, you really can't tell if someone's coming to hip extension when they sweep their leg through. And when they cross the line and as they're crossing the line, they're bringing the dumbbells down. Like, did they get to extension or did they not? Well, I don't know. Their back was to the camera. Yeah. So if they say, hey, you got to put your camera here. We want you to just stand in front of the camera, hold the dumbbell like this, and just step back and then step back again and step back. And we can freeze frame it all day and see if you're opening up your hips or not. Like, that's a movement to me because we've had single leg and like every year times two. I think every year at quarters has had a form of lunging and has had pistols up until this year.
The annoying thing about in-place lunges and wall walks, in my opinion, is you just give little people more of an advantage because now they don't have to cover a set amount of distance. They get to capitalize on their limb length. And for the wall walk, that's if you use the standard where you just mark where your shoulders are versus a 50-foot hamstring walk for everyone or a set distance of lunges. I don't know. I just think an online competition inherently to begin with favors typically smaller guys, women, and I don't know. Probably
the most useful thing I can think of with someone looking at a judge participating in the quarterfinals would be because there's an extended time, having someone just watch your videos back instead of actually judging why you're going, because you have extra time. And if they're like, hey, look at all the, there's a quite a few questionable reps in here. You still have time to redo it if you want to. Yeah. I feel like that's where they might be the most useful.
Angel, if I'm an athlete, I'm watching all of my own videos like three times.
Like, you have a ton of individual athletes there at Mayhem that you know are going to be doing quarters. Will they do them and like immediately submit them so that they can get feedback before the deadline and then just say, hey, like, does this look good? Like, it looked like my camera angle was a little bit off. And they're like, yeah, you need to resubmit this or it's going to be invalidated. Okay, cool. Because I know a lot of people do that.
You don't get feedback from them before the submission window closes.
Yeah, usually not. I do know that. I do know that some athletes did that last year. I think Gi is one of them. I don't know if a ton of them did that. I know that Gi is one of them. I think Rich has done that in the past as well. But yeah, you are really, you're kind of like Taylor said, you're at the, you're at their discretion at that point. You're like hoping they reply and there's like a 50-50 that if they do or not. And I actually want to circle this back to the layout. Not having a layout is easier for a class, and like having tape lines, all that stuff is easier for a class, but we didn't get any idea of how they want it laid out. So like that, the only problem with that for me is like, where do you want my clock to be? And where do you want my camera to be? Mm-hmm. Like what angle do you want the best? Because some teams you may put it in a position where, you know, if you put it in front and you're squatting towards the camera, it, you know, you can't really see if someone's going below parallel from that angle. And I know they say from a 45 or whatever does help, but like it you're leaving it up to the person, and I may be limited in my gym space with where I can put that camera, where I can put the clock, and where I can't move my rig, you know. Like at Mayhem, Josh Malone is actually like, hey, if you guys see a layout and you want to move a pull-up bar or something, like we have that access. Most people don't have access to move their rig, move their camera, move the clock, and like having this perfect little setup. So that, with the video thing, that plays a huge factor in my.
Are you saying they didn't tell you where to put the camera?
No,
really,
there wasn't, because normally, like, there's a layout. It's like a little diagram, kind of like what JR was saying. Like, it says rower, line, rings, line, whatever, camera here, and that's usually what it says. They're not doing that mostly for, because it's so inclusive, and they're going to run a bunch of people in it. That makes it easier that you can use whatever setup you have other than using the setup they're forcing you to use.
Do they tell you that they can penalize you based on that?
No, they didn't. I mean, they didn't say that you can, but you can set yourself up to get screwed by that, as like you could set up your camera, say, this looks pretty good. And then now all my reps look like shit because my camera's in the wrong spot. So.
Yeah. I think it's easy for them to put it on you in the description to just say, place the camera that allows for all movements to clearly be shown, meeting the standard.
Yes. And like, yeah, but how? That's all you can put. It's vague. And then are they really going to are they going to hammer people who fuck with that? No, I don't think. Unless you're a big name. So.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, like, it does kind of go both ways. Like, when you have the picture with the little green arrow that says athlete facing or athlete start, and people don't follow that and they get penalized for it. Like, hey, dude, just like look at the picture and start behind the line, or like, hey, make sure you were facing this way on your squat. Like in 2021, the Masters Online qualifier, we had to put the camera at our back. So it was overhead squat, burpee, box jump over. They wanted to look at us from the back. And I think to what you were saying, while you can't really see the hip opening in front, you can see depth a lot better from the back of somebody than you can from the front.
I'm about to watch you from the back. I will say this, dude, I'm gonna have to pause for a full second at every single fucking rep because of how much shit I throw at HQ. Dude, they're gonna 100%, dude, they're gonna fuck with me so hard.
I will say this, you guys will love to know this. Our workout one submission was accepted. Let's see, I don't want to get this wrong. I can find it in my email. Workout one was accepted on Sunday at 9:28 a.m. And then I didn't hear anything until where are they at? Yeah, until Tuesday at 5:55. Workout two was accepted. And then here's the best part of it all. Tuesday at 8:15, at 8:17, and also 8:17, workout three and four were accepted. So nice. I don't know if they looked at one or they looked at two, but they certainly didn't look at three or four.
Damn.
They just sent me a check mark. Same time.
Love to see it.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Angel, as far as movements go for the individual workouts, anything that you hope does come either back around or like kind of around for the first time? Or
I hope they rope climb. I hope they do GHDs, and I hope they have some form of snatch. I feel like rope climbs cleans up a lot of the stuff that they could miss or that we missed and could avoid that situation for the individuals.
I hope rope climbs.
Well, I was going to say, like, Taylor, for you, I mean, you're good at everything, right? When you're going against three guys that are good at everything, for sure. But
yeah, dude, I'm
like,
the best.
The fact that every year the past 3 years have had high volume GHDs, and yes, that's probably like top three of your best movements. Seeing that the teams did a pretty high volume toes to bar, I think that it's fair to think that it's reasonable to say that there's going to be high volume toes to bar.
Rather be toes to bar. I've been doing so much toes to bar right now.
Angela, who you taking? Taylor, Jason, Colton, Dallin to win that little matchup in quarterfinals? Obviously without knowing the workouts, but
hard to say without knowing the workouts. It's really hard to say without knowing the workouts. I'm gonna go ahead and assume that their workouts are gonna be similar to ours, just for the sake of helping me figure it out. And then if
they're similar, I'm taking a fucking L.
You think you're beating Colton in a 2-on-2-off style workout like that with front squats, burpees, and ring muscle ups?
How many rounds was it? Five?
Five rounds.
And it was max rep ring muscle ups, and it was
2-1. Let's just say for you, it's like, I don't know, 12s or maybe 15s, because having a minute or over a minute for two people is different.
If it's 10s, maybe it's close.
Okay.
If it's 15s, he's beating me in it, and neither Jason nor Dallin are beating me in that. But all the other workouts are just not like, they're not things that I'm not bad at them, but those guys are all games athletes. I don't know. There are workouts that could come out that none of them could beat me in with, and they wouldn't have a chance, but there are also likely workouts that, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I'm going to take the safe pick and I'm going to say Dallin.
To be honest, Dallin is incredibly well-rounded.
Yeah.
And there are only two or three things I could think of that could come out, and I don't think they'll come out in the volume necessary to hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly have to be like a, which I would love if they did, because while the 50 shuttle runs, while the 100 shuttle runs was so boring to do last year in quarterfinals, that rope climb bench press rope climb combination was so good, man. And yeah. If they did like a 185 bench press for lots of reps against you guys, that could be one of the only things I could see Dallin, like, you know, not being top of the pack on.
I'll show you what the workouts would have to be for.
Because I think he's even told me it's like running and bench press, and those are the only two real things that I like really need to work on a lot.
Really, running and bench press. That's what incredible things to have to get better at.
Stop it, Dallin said that.
Yeah, he said that at Charlotte.
Dude, he's high. He sucks at ring muscle ups. This workout, I would absolutely obliterate everyone but Colton in. And then
that will be talking about pistols and how they don't ever need to be not in person. Those dumbbell overhead squats are just as bad to judge.
I would murder this workout, but also there's no shot that comes out. And then I would probably do well with this snatch workout too. But then I think. Where is this?
I like that style of snatch workout for capacity.
I loved these workouts, but the volume of gymnastics was just, it was like, damn.
Oh, you guys both took an L on that one that you just showed.
Yeah, to you, bro. And that was 10 years ago when I was like freaking 12.
I think it was two or three years ago.
I would never lose to Jason in that workout with anyone other than you watching. I hope you know that.
Taylor, what are you doing with the 5K if you do win? Buying a Harley or what?
100% buying a Heritage Softail fucking Cholo.
Wait, do you win money from CrossFit if you win quarterfinals?
No, just the Open.
Nice.
Yeah. if I win quarterfinals, Dave sends me a dick pic. That's actually that's the arrangement, dude. I hope he doesn't watch this show. Just kidding. We don't want to see that.
Angelo, if you were participating in this like four person like round robin type thing that they're doing, and it was either it would just winner take all, or you all get like a grand, and then you only earn more money for event wins. Which one do you think would be more fun? Which one would you rather do? Would you rather just like all compete and the winner just takes all of it, or just be like, hey, at the least I'm going to make $1,000, but I could make, if I hammer them all and I win all of them, I could win even more.
I like winner takes all. I like the winner takes all just because, I don't know. There's more, way more incentive that way. Like I'd happily take third and get $1,000 out of four people. But I think the winner takes all adds a lot more stress to it. Adds a lot more competition. The competition is more heated.
Has the price purse been decided?
Yeah, $5,000 for a winner.
That's it. That's all. That's the prize purse.
Not for us.
That's it. But that no one else wins.
I don't know that that's the prize purse. I just know the first place wins $5,000.
That's it. 5K is nothing, bro. It's pocket change.
Hey, well, okay, we get it.
That's four of those GHG butt pads.
Yeah.
Hey, the chat voting was 45% Dallin, 20% Taylor, 32% Colton, 3% Jason.
I hope you're listening, Jason.
Well, you know, if they do something like the 120-120 workout, right? That's like that's best case scenario for something like Jason. Or if they do something like that, kind of what the teams did, like let's just say they do a 21-15-9, 315 and 185 couplet. Like I mean, does Colton still beat him on that?
Yes.
Do you think Taylor?
100%. I think Dallin beats him too.
So like he has to get like something heavy, or he has to get something very row heavy, which I think is still possible that there'll be some kind of a row heavy test. But anything online for someone of his height is just going to be really tough.
Yeah.
Because that year they did the 120-120, him and DeLugos, I guess, won the world on that for the quarters. But that's like, you know, that's two of the best movements you could put together for someone like him.
Well, nice. My hopes aren't high. I'm pretty sure the workouts are going to stink, but if I stay there, then I won't be as disappointed next week when they drop.
Last thing, Angelo, would you go on a famous rant if they did a choose your own adventure, like ring muscle up thruster workout for quarterfinals?
Oh, I hate those events. Dom was saying how he likes them. I freaking hate those. Like, I don't know. I mean, no, sorry. Those are bad. What's worse is what they did with the Masters last year, where they said you had to get a minimum amount of this amount of work. And obviously, anyone who did decent did 1,000 thrusters in that workout.
Right.
They're not even close. Those two movements weren't close. Like, it needed to be a 95-pound thruster and a muscle up and a bar muscle up, maybe. And then you kind of choose your own adventure that way. It's so much worse. You have to test it. Obviously, whoever tested it must have been terrible at 135 thrusters. So they're like, oh yeah, these are about right, and they won.
What do you guys think about an also almost like an iteration from 24.3, and they did like a 10-minute AMRAP of ring muscle up, squat snatch 135. Do you think those are comparable, or do you still think one is a lot easier? I think they're pretty close.
I think they're close.
Well, closer.
But I don't know that they're going to force a squat snatch. Have they done that? They force a squat snatch instead of just a snatch?
2017 and first cut at the games, maybe.
Yeah, like they haven't done in a quarterfinal stage, right? Like where
they've that's the only thing that I'm thinking. Unless they did
power snatch, toe to ring, squat snatch, ring muscle up, like progression, kind of like they did for 24.3, and then people would definitely lose their minds over toes to ring.
I mean, if it's tested thoroughly, it could be cool, I guess. But don't make a minimum amount of work on both of them. That basically says this isn't even, so we're going to make sure you at least do some of these so you can do a bunch of those. Like,
Yeah, like just do a 10-minute AMRAP of 5 and 5 or something like
that. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I gotta say, when I saw that video of Bennett tripping the wire on the clock, I was like, oh my god. If that happened at our affiliate, I don't have, like, I couldn't put myself in your shoes because it would have been someone like Will or Lizzie, and it would be really hard for me to be angry at them because they already do so much to help us. And I'm sure Bennett does as well, but in my perspective, yeah. I was like, damn, this guy who, like, probably doesn't know that well, or maybe you know him well, but, like,
yeah, I do.
Fuck, I would have freaked out. And then so I was like, damn, I would have reacted way differently. And then when you sent me that video, I was so satisfied. I was satisfied for you, dude.
it was the only way to react. I mean, I couldn't hold it in. I was so mad. I was so mad. In the moment, I was furious, and I was mad all day. I was mad all day and the next day. I was really mad, actually, the next day when my back, I thought, like, I need to go to the hospital. My back was hurting so bad.
Really?
I was at work, and, I mean, I didn't do anything all day. Like, we ran a lot of calls, but other than calls, dude, I didn't leave the recliner. I had my heating pad on. The guys are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm just trying to recover. Like, I'm doing everything I can to feel at least halfway decent because I have to try to do that workout again tomorrow. Mm. I was so messed up. Like, that afternoon, I thought I was injured. Like, I thought it hurt my back. It was hurting so bad. And then it got better the next day. And then finally, the day we did it, it was just, like, sore. It was just really sore, and it warmed up okay.
So did you? So you redid that workout before you did the 315 deadlift workout?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my god.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if that was. I mean, it was fine actually. If it ended up being fine, I don't know if it was the best. No. We had to, because it was due. Before. That's why we did that.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a choice.
Well, there's one thing that they do. I hope, like, yeah, there was no single leg movements. There was no lunging or anything. But for the individuals, if they have, like, 2 pulls from the floor, 2 squats, I'll be happy. If they have, you know, that kind of variety, like, I still don't think a kipping handstand push-up should be getting anyone to a semifinal. I think at minimum, it just needs to be a strict. If it's a deficit kipping, that's fine. Like the year that Taylor and Jason lunged for steps and not distance, and they could overall just, like, kind of short striding. But then that workout ended with, what, 10 strict, and people were doing, like, 2s.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really cool progression style. Just like, crazy. Hey, we're going to see who has good shoulders and who doesn't. I just don't know that a workout like that, even going hang lunge, front rack lunge, overhead lunge, if they think that that's just too hard now for, like, a quarterfinals level. I don't know.
Too hard. Okay. Show is probably over. I'm good. I'm serious. I don't have anything nice to say.
My gosh, we're going to come on, what, next Wednesday as soon as they come out and try to at least air our grievances before Taylor has to get into competition mode.
Yeah, and sorry to break it to everyone, but I won't be here to break down the programming. I'll be on a work trip. So
he'll be on a work trip, and then he'll be at Crash making sure the stream is extra crisp.
Yeah, I won't be there the first day, though, but it's going to be great. All my stuff will be there, so I'm going to buy insurance from State Farm for that one day that I'll just leaving all my equipment with these yahoos.
Who's taking it down there? Am I taking it?
No, I am.
Oh, and then you're flying out? Out. Yeah. Ah, okay. Cool.
Angela, thanks for coming on. Short notice. Yeah.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, cheers. This tonight, before we dip out, tonight, going live on the Train Sentinel channel with was Jessica on your guys' team? Alabama? Oh,
me? No. Yeah. No.
She was whose team was she? She was on Justice. Oh. Okay, right. Mayhem Justice.
Yeah.
RIP Mayhem Justice.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the Everyday Hero Games, Angelo? Are you tightly involved with that? What's going on?
Yeah, tightly involved. I am helping program. Well, we have the online events programmed already. We're going to start working on the in-person workouts, try to figure out, like, try to push the envelope as much as we can, like, to get the events outside, like, really kind of change it up, make it really interesting, make it its own event. And I've had a lot of people ask what my best hint is for the workouts is to follow the Everyday Hero program.
Yeah, baby.
Smart man.
If you want to hit If you want to hit, pay up, bro.
I have a lot of people ask me, they're like, so what program on Mayhem would be the best one to like get prepared for the Everyday Hero? Like, I do some of this one and that one. I was like, I don't know, probably the Everyday Hero one.
Probably the one that puts.
I do have involvement. I have a lot of involvement with that and programming Everyday Hero. So
when's the online competition? Can people still sign up?
Yeah, sign up is live right now. I forget when it closes, but it's live right now. So just go do it.
How do you prove that you're an Everyday Hero? Like, do you have to send a video of yourself fighting a fire or saving a grandma out of a toilet?
Well, a calendar pick will work too.
Okay.
If you've been in a fire calendar, no, I think you have to like send an ID. Like, almost everyone should, like, I have an ID that says firefighter city of Cookeville. So like send an ID, something like that. I think you only really have to do that if you are one of the winners. So you can sign up technically, but make sure you are in that profession, especially if you plan on trying to do well and possibly win.
Just because your mom calls you her little hero doesn't mean you qualify.
Damn, I'm fucked.
At the games, is it like firefighters versus police? Like, everyone's doing the same workouts against each other, or is it? Oh, that's sick.
So we're gonna try to have. I think the idea is to have 5 events in one day. I believe it's supposed to be one day, and they're all gonna have a theme to them. So like, there's gonna be a firefighter theme, a law enforcement theme, teacher theme. Like, there's educator is the category. There's gonna be a bunch. There's gonna be 5 events with 5 different themes. Hopefully, trying to make make it work for that profession.
Nice. So the teacher themed one will be like, how fast can you sit in a desk? How fast can you erase stuff off a chalkboard? That kind of thing.
How fast can you allow your students to choose their gender identity? Dude, that would be that one.
Gender identity choosing is actually the educator's event.
Oh, sheesh.
That's awesome. All right. So are they gonna like theming the workouts?
Or so
I guess there's 2 ways. Is it gonna be like a typical CrossFit competition, but they will be themed towards like Everyday Hero workouts or things like that? Or would it be like more outside the box?
Both. Try to do both. Try to integrate them both together. Like, they're going to be CrossFit, obviously. They're going to be CrossFit, but they're going to be more like outside the box thinking CrossFit stuff. So yes and no. Do CrossFit.
Nice. All right, Dare left. We're leaving.
Damn, dude, he did just dip out. I'm going to watch Civil War.
If you want to see Angelo, go check out the Rich Froning podcast, aka the Angelo DeChico podcast. We all know that's what we actually watch for Angelo. And Everyday Hero, where can you sign up for that?
Well, go to my Instagram. I have a link on there. That's the number one spot. Or Mayhem Athlete's Instagram. Or Mayhem Athlete on the internet, and you can sign up. You can go through the link. There's Everyday Hero program on there, and then there's Everyday Hero game as well.
Nice. Then Train Sentinel, Taylor's programming, the fastest growing training platform in the CrossFit space, allegedly. And
is that self-proclaimed or what?
That's self-proclaimed, dude. Fastest growing, biggest, largest, extra inches more than the other guys.
It's enormous. It's ginormous. It's exploding. And next Wednesday, they'll go over individual quarterfinal workouts. And then Thursday, Friday, whatever. I don't know if we even have a schedule. Live from CrossFit Crash, kind of like Taylor versus the World style broadcast. Taylor, Jason, Colton, and Dallin. Bye.